The Loco Hoops Report is presented by H2 Basketball. Rob Benson and Rodney Mayers are building a program dedicated to advancing hoops in the Loco. They're providing opportunities for the area's best ballers to elevate their game through clinics, camps, open runs, and developmental leagues, and their elite AAU travel program is bringing all the area's brightest stars together to rep Loco. See what they're up to at h2bball.com and help the Loco become a hoops hotbed. This is the Loco Hoops Report, covering basketball in the South Carolina Lowcountry. Here are your hosts, Justin Jarrett and Wes Kerr.
Hey, Loco sports fans, welcome to another edition and the final edition for this season of the Loco Hoops Report. I'm Justin Jarrett, joined as always by Wes Kerr, Rob Benson, and Nick Field. And we are talking a little bit of Loco hoops for the last time for this high school season, but I know we got a lot of hoops on the way as far as AAU goes, and Rob will talk a little bit about what comes next as far as hoops in the Lowcountry goes. But let's talk about wrapping up this high school season, and it was an exciting one. Since we last talked, we had another state championship game. Hilton Head High's boys making a deep run, going all the way to the state championship game, had a big lead late and let it slip away and lose by two. But certainly, you know, doesn't take anything away from the season they had. It was outstanding. So much fun to cover. And guys, you know, let's just kind of kick it around a little bit and talk about, you know, these Seahawks and this season as far as the boys side. But Wes, you were there on Saturday and it was a heartbreaker, but it was a great culmination of a great season for the Seahawks.
Yeah, it's going to sting. It certainly did for especially those seniors who, man, they were so close to winning that state title. And, man, that would have been an amazing way to go out. But that was just a really heartbreaking loss. I really thought they had locked up after the first half, took a 11-point lead into the Rock locker room. But you got to give a lot of credit to what South Point did. They came storming back and forced a bunch of turnovers with that dominant full-court press. And Hilton Head just unable to keep control of the ball. And that was the point of emphasis that Shane Brown talked about before the game. If Hilton Head can avoid those mistakes and turnovers when they bring the ball up, because they knew South Point was going to press, that would be the difference in the game. Just a lack of execution in the second half down the stretch and mismanagement of the basketball, which, like I said, you got to give a lot of credit to what South Point did. It is no easy task to beat that press. I mean, that was some fantastic coaching by the Stallions to get themselves back in this game and to pull it out. So what a fantastic thriller of a state championship game. Just fortunate the Seahawks couldn't come out on the right side. And, you know, McCracken, you know, I expected a little more from Will in this game, but got into some early foul trouble. But Sam Suma was the man. He already had a double-double midway through the first half. Just an unbelievable start. 11 points in the first quarter, even in a three. I mean, really showcasing that tight end size, that dominating presence that he's going to be on the football field at UCLA. And the Seahawks, they're doing a great job on defense contesting shots. It seemed like every possession that South Point had, there was a hand up when that Stallion took a shot. And, you know, they were just relentless. But you got to give it, once again, so much credit to that coaching staff at South Point, because they were able to find ways to get to the rim and get some big buckets to turn the tide in this game. And they got some speedy guys, some athletic players on that roster, and then they're able to find some success on the offensive end. That really opened up the entire game for them as it went down the stretch, and especially that defensive presence there, really doing a great job pressing and forcing Seahawk mistakes. That was absolutely huge. If they cut to four after the third quarter, Jalen Picklin making a couple of threes, and then Quan Pearson just took it over. That was an incredible run for Pearson. Five quick points, taking the lead late, capped off by an and one beauty of a shot. And I thought Hilton played great defense in that possession. It was just they couldn't hold on to the ball. That's unfortunate. Hilton Head. Suma tied it at the line around 25 seconds left, and Pearson attacks again, gets fouled, makes both of the line. Hilton Head with 4 seconds left, down two. And I was thinking, I was talking about with Brooke and with her friend over there, was saying, Adam Clark, three-pointer in the corner. It's going to happen. But unfortunately, that press once again kind of stymied what the Seahawks were able to do. The only thing they were able to do was a half-court heave by Sam Sumo, which didn't go. And so, man, what a tough loss for the Seahawks. But that doesn't take away from the amazing season that they had and just an unbelievable story. Dunk Island really made us all proud. I mean, before the state championship win, they were able to get past a fantastic player, Cesar Edwards and Xavier. That was an amazing win over there against Hartsville. And Seahawks played an incredible state championship game. Unfortunately, just fell short. And congratulations to Melvin Watson. He's coached a decade over there at South Point and finally getting that state championship. What an amazing feeling. Really respect what they're doing over there. So congratulations to the South Point Stallions. What a state championship game. And what a year for the Hilton Head Seahawks.
Yeah, I mean, clearly it went south at the end. And we talked to Coach Shane Brown before the, you know, during the week about the keys. And the big key for him was handling that pressure. And they did a great job of it for so long, but just couldn't get it done down the stretch, which, you know, it's really unfortunate the way it went down. But once again, to be in the state championship game for a program that's never been there is a massive step and a great accomplishment. You know, Rob, Nick, did you guys see this coming? Did you think that it would go down this way? I mean, a big lead, a team that has taken pretty good care of the ball all season. I was a little surprised that it went that way.
Yeah, I was surprised. You know, I couldn't watch. I watched the first half on my phone during the North-South All-Star game because we had a couple guys there. And then, you know, I was able to watch the whole second half, you know, by myself. And incredibly proud of what Shane Brown and Hilton Head's done this year. You know, Sam Suma's been a rock all season. Really came into his Adam Clark. Obviously had a good season too, and just like Wes was saying, you know, I think I called it a few weeks ago. I said, you know, Adam's gonna hit one at the buzzer to win it, and you know, it's 4 points on the floor, and I was like, oh man, well somebody else hit it, and you know, they just couldn't hang on there at the end. You kind of got the sense even in that second half that Hilton Head was gonna hang on because they would turn it over, and then South Point, you know, in a position to capitalize on that, would turn it right back over, you know, for a few minutes span. And I just kind of felt South Point kept, you know, blowing opportunity after opportunity. I was like, okay, good. You know, Hilton Head's going to hang on. And obviously, unfortunately, I think a phantom foul there at the end to give those free throws. I might be a little bit of a homer on that one. It's an incredible season. I always say, you know, once we're done playing each other locally, you know, we're all pulling for the home teams. We never played Hilton Head this year, so I was pulling for them all year long. And I'm glad those guys were able to experience that. And heart kind of breaks that they weren't able to finish it off.
Yeah, I mean, no doubt. I think the biggest takeaway I have from the season is sort of how they flipped the script and changed the entire nature about how we talked about Hilton Head, you know, high school basketball. So going into the season, it's, oh my gosh, James Island, top three, top three, top three. You know, they're going to run this bracket. It's a matter of, you know, our version of the region down here playing for second place, right? And that never matriculated. Like, Hilton Head from day one just took it to people. The only people they didn't take it to were Richmond Hill, who, you know, has showcased their wares over in Georgia this year in a big way. So, I mean, there are no bad losses. There are good wins. There's marquee players. There's Division I athletes. There's a renewed culture. There's, you know, an alumni kind of coming to the fore and adding pride to the program. There's the football program, which directly wrapped its arms with Coach BJ around the basketball program and, you know, was given play-by-plays on Twitter the whole way. It enthused a community. And I think that there's a lot to be said for that. Right. And beyond that, you don't think of Hilton Head as some basketball mecca. And of course, as we talked about early in the pods, that was, you know, aided by this pandemic by virtue of people moving in. I mean, two of our best kids in the area, without question, were kids who relocated or, right, you know, showed back up, I guess, in McCracken's case. But what's it matter? At the end of the day, it was a magical run. McCracken put down some of the most memorable individual performances this area has seen, right?
Yeah.
And beyond that, I mean, going to, like, that's almost unheard of, right? You talk Hilton Head Island basketball going to the finals and state, unheard of. I don't really want to get into the last bunch of minutes and all that sort of stuff because, you know, sometimes I think one-offs tarnish the greater picture, right? Yeah. And of course that's the beauty of March. That's why we're it's mid madness right now. And it's, you know, and then also, you know, it was late February there, but same thing, conference tournaments, NCAA tournaments, state championships. These are wonderful things to be gauged by, but you know, there were some turnovers late that, you know, didn't, you could attribute to individuals on the team, and that would be unfair because without those individuals they don't even sniff the playoffs, right?
Right.
I think, you know,
you can't reduce the season to 2 minutes.
That's it. Yeah. So like exactly. For me, I don't even like, you know, you can, this is one of those things, and I do this with coaches at age two, like I've brought you on, I hired you, now we're gonna run it and I'm gonna back you, and that's the way I see this. Like they had a heck of a run. They had a magical season. Shane was great. McCracken was great. And forget the last 2 minutes. What a great take. You know, they did wonderful by the area. So it was great to watch. Blast. And they were fun to watch too. I mean, they put it down, you know, Dunk Island. Now let's retire it.
Yeah, no doubt.
How often do you see three starters on a basketball team in the area become high-end D1 prospects, with Will McCracken going to UNC Wilmington, Sam Suma, football player, UCLA, and then Jalen Snead getting recruited by everybody. That's really special. And this team was pretty much everything that you love about sports. You have the coach coming home back to his hometown and Hilton Head Island looking to bring home a state championship. And then you got some high flyers. You got some exceptional talent in McCracken, Suma. And then you got those role players like Adam Clark, who's been working so hard to really build this program up the last couple of years. He has a fantastic season, along with guys like the Kedrick Black. So just an amazing run, and I'm really thankful and grateful to be able to cover it from really the start. So what an outstanding season it was for Hilton Head. And I remember even back in 2005 when I was young, going out to those playoff games, Greg Elliott's teams, back there in 2005, the last time they won the region championship. I remember going to those playoff games. Man, I never thought we'd able ever get back to that point, let alone go all the way to the state championship. So what a magical season and what an amazing feeling it's been all year to be a Seahawk fan.
Yeah, and an underrated thing about that is that, you know, the next time a high-end kid and his family move to Hilton Head, Hilton Head High might be the first place they look instead of the private schools, you know? So
absolutely.
That's part of building that culture too. And it will pay dividends for them. They got a lot of guys back who played really key roles despite graduating stars.
That's a funny story.
You plug in one or two kids who move in or transfer back from a private school, and you got something special.
No, we actually, the younger McCracken was in one of our gyms this weekend for a 16U practice. And so essentially we got to talk to Dad a little bit, or Rod did, I should say. Yeah, wonderful. And the other side of it was, is they're very, you know, forthright and like, look, if you're coming down here to a place that isn't really renowned right now on any level as a basketball hub, you got to go with the highest classification, because at least at some point you're going to run into dogs.
Yep.
And that's so that's why they went Hilton Head High School. Like there's no one else who was going to at least have the opportunity to play that high end of kid. So you know, to their credit, they wanted the smoke, and they showed up and they got it and they delivered. So kudos.
Amen. All right. Well, we talked a lot about that team, obviously, but there were a lot of other teams who had great seasons, great individual performances. So let's just kick it around and our season takeaways, you know, which teams impressed you the most improved teams, players, that kind of thing. Wes, where are you headed with this segment?
I'm going to go in the direction of Skeeza boys, because there's several teams that really impressed me. I mean, obviously Hilton Head Prep got some great talent coming in with JJ Hayes, but the guy who really impressed me this year was Kane Eames, who grew into their reliable scorer pretty much every night in the second half of the season, transitioned from just a shooter beyond the arc to a guy who could take it to the rim, a guy who could play some lockdown defense and really do it all for the Dolphins. And plus you get an outstanding rebounder like JJ Hayes. And so that's going to be certainly a team to look out for. And I really think the part that really doomed Hilton Head Prep was just the inability to have much experience in playing those high end 3A teams. When you're going against those 2A, it just doesn't build you as much as when you play that full complete 3A schedule. And I just don't think they're ready for it. And so, but I do like how that program is going. They return a great amount of those players back. They lose Jaden Chance, Luke Foley especially is going to be a big loss with his rebounding ability. But I think Hilton Head Prep is in a great direction. JP2 is another school that really impressed me this year. Mark Knight, one of the best players in the area, terrific scorer, terrific all-around asset to his team. They do lose a couple pieces, but I'm excited for Jackson Ogden. I'm excited for Christian Tilton and a couple of those guys. The JV program is fantastic. So I think the JP2 boys is on the right track. And then I cannot believe how good Melvin Teal Jr. has been in just his eighth grade year. Oh, my God. I am so excited to see his development. I mean, if he stays at Colton Prep the next 4 years, I mean, he's going to be breaking all the records. I mean, it's just an incredible athlete. He looks like a grown man already and just really excited to see how he develops. And hopefully he'll stay over there as a Warhawk for a while and take that program to unseen heights, because he is a special athlete. And so he's a boys basketball. I'm really, and also, I mean, you get Hilton Head Christian Academy, you lose Peduzzi, but you bring back Isaiah Anderson, freshman monster. He's going to have a bright future as well. Andrew Helms is a very, very solid guard. So a couple of good pieces there. Of course, they're making their move to Bluffton, which should attract some more talent as well. So I'm excited for Season Boys basketball. And Nick, I'm sure you agree, and Buford Academy as well, losing a couple of talents, but Ben Fry really impressed me, and a couple others on that squad as well. So, and a great, great, great state we're in Skeezy Boys.
Nick, you want to break some news?
Yeah, sure. Sure. I didn't think Let's I was going to do that, news. But I'll break some news. Yeah, so I'm actually going to take over the boys basketball program next year as the head coach. So I'm super excited to do that. You know, it's kind of always been the plan. And then, you know, some bumps in the road, you know, transition with Livesey and Smith and, you know, being the AD. It's been a difficult 3 years. You know, we've dealt with, you know, gym construction and hurricanes and some tragedy in the school and COVID and just kind of thing after thing. But now it just kind of seems like the perfect time to go ahead and step in. And Coach Smith said, you know, pretty early on in the season, this was going to be his last run. So we kept it under wraps for as long as we could. And, you know, I feel like we're in a good spot to continue to build upon what he's created there. And, you know, we're working on what our program is going to look like and who we're going to be. So I'm super excited for the future, and I'm super excited for the future of the region, really. You know, when you look at the all region list, 8 out of the 11 kids honored are all returning next year. And there are some kids that weren't honored that should have been. So I think, you know, this Skeezer region is going to be very, very tough next year. It's going to be a lot of fun. You're going to see some competitive games. And the big thing for us is we're just, you know, trying to get better every single day, help these kids achieve their goals and, you know, continue to bring the offers in. I think this year we ended up with close to 30 offers on our varsity boys basketball team. You know, there were some other teams in the area that beat us that didn't have, you know, 10% of that. So, you know, we're getting really good at that. And now we want to get really good at beating these teams too. So it's going to be a lot of fun, and I'm really excited to continue to take this program in the right direction.
Yeah, no doubt. Congratulations to you on getting back to coaching. I know that's your first passion and you know, the path that you took, and an opportunity came along to be an AD, and I thought you did an outstanding job with it. But I also understand that, you know, happy is number one, and passion, you know, connecting your work to your passions is important. You know, that helps you get balance in life. And so definitely wish you well as you make your transition. And
is this his last
and
pod?
That's exciting.
Is this Nick's last pod?
Oh, he's going to have me back next year because I'm a head coach.
We may have to make you a guest.
Oh, no.
You know? Bring you in for an interview. For I don't know.
Be my last pod. I would have prepared a speech or something.
Well, we'll did you just give it? I thought you just gave it.
Oh, well I didn't know it was my last podcast speech.
No, you're obviously a pod regular. And plus, who's going to talk more junk now that you're in the you know, director's chair there, you got the whole world listening. So when you call out some of those other schools and you're actually the head man. Okay. Good times.
What are your takeaways, Rob? What, you know, what did you learn this season?
Boy, you know, that the private schools are going to put it out there more than the public schools, right? You have proactive ADs on the private side who are really trying to honor the commitment the kids have to their sport. So with that being said, I think, you know, whereas it was wonderful to watch both public and private ball, private probably played a third more games at least. And I think that that's, you know, if your kids go hard and that sort of stuff. So that's a takeaway. If, you know, if you're looking, you know, and you have a child who wants to play and goes really hard, depending on where you are with COVID and all that, you know, that the private schools at this point are going to do that probably with more regularity. So I took that away a little bit. I mean, it's hard not to when Nick's squad, I think, played 18 games in 26 days or something. And then, you know, prep as well. And all these teams, they were very proactive in terms of how they rebuilt their schedule as it fell out on the fly. So I think that was an interesting takeaway in terms of the schools themselves. I mean, Colleton has got the best young star in the area by far, playing exceptionally high end branded ball. Melvin is the real deal. I think everyone knows it in the area. He has a reputation. Long and Wide is an eighth grader. So watching him is really interesting because he's truly the next big star out of the area, right? You know, and then beyond that, I think BA has a couple really good young workhorses. I mean, when you have a backcourt that has that kind of ability and can control tempo and sort of instill their will in terms of how to go out about playing the game on the offensive end of the court. I think they've got a good chance moving forward. And of course, Nick's a fine coach. He's coaching our 15U along with Rod Mayers. So I think, you know, it's a situation where BA is just looking to improve. Prep returns a lot. I like Prep JV program. They got, you know, three kids on that program, four really that I thought are pretty good kids that'll probably move up to varsity right away. You know, JJ's back, Kane's back. You know, they have a tremendous amount of what they do back. But I think that they need to stop being so insular, kind of go out and see what's out there in the real world. And I mean that in the spring, I mean that in the summer, and I mean that when they actually schedule a 3A, you know, schedule next year. They vastly need to come up with a new scheduling philosophy that doesn't get them completely denigrated come Selection Sunday. If that makes sense. Yeah. So I think, you know, I think prep just has to really go, look, we're a strong program. If we're the culture we claim to be, it's time to schedule up, get out there, get some W's. I mean, I think that's really what it comes down to. They chose to not do that by design this year. So they got what was coming to them. However, there's a lot of talent in the shed, right? So I think that they have a really good opportunity to bounce back if they approach the season in the correct way and they actually get their kids competition, you know, playing against real competition, not just against each other all the time. And I think that would really help them moving forward. They tend to just practice against each other. So when they see 3A, they get blitzed. I mean, it's what it is. I mean, they know it, and it's been pointed out to them fairly recently. But I think they'll change that up. You know, there's some smart people down there and certainly great basketball minds, like we said. So I fully expect them to rebound, come back strong, stack up that roster by any means necessary, and, you know, come out firing. I think Christian's the most interesting thing in the area, though, right? Like, what becomes of Christian? Did Pretty do enough to make it so that he's on solid ground, the program's on solid ground, the kids in the program don't look at other programs that are more basketball oriented? I think there's a lot of that going into the offseason that needs to be addressed. Certainly a brand new facility over there, you know, great location. I expect them to be a much bigger school, probably go up to 3A before too long. They're going to draw from far and wide. I think the question gets to be, how committed are they to boys basketball? And if they're going to make that commitment, what's that look like starting next year? Because, you know, they came on towards the end, but at the end of the day, part of that is because it's so football oriented that it takes time to, you know, transition. So how they come out of this year and determine to, like, re-gear the machine will really determine what they look like moving forward. They're a sleeping giant with that new facility and that new location. So I expect
you know, interesting stuff too in the area. You know, some of these other teams, I think there's going to be a couple more Skeeza teams here in the next year.
Yeah, I think you're right. Trinity and Cross, they're supposed to be 1A flexes in that region. I think they're going to both have varsity programs next year, or they're deciding on that now. And what's interesting about Hillbend Christian is we kind of talked all year about, you know, is football hurting them, hurting their basketball team? And now I'm kind of thinking that, you know, is football going to save their basketball team? You know, because you might have some of those guys on the team, like, you know, Isaiah Anderson and Helms and Blackshear that, you know, may want to explore other options, you know, for basketball, but they all play football too, right? So, you know, if you're going to go football, Hilton at Christian's got a great football program. So maybe they retain some of those kids that might have, you know, ventured elsewhere.
But I think a lot of that is where
football helps them.
I think a lot of that's the size of school, right? So they actually wear shirts at Christian. I saw one at practice the other day that says three seasons, three sports.
Yep.
You know, because that's how they have to. Yeah,
you have to. And you have to be that way at private schools.
Well, they joke about it, like in the stands, you know, at our tryouts and stuff. And I find it only moderately funny. But the gist of it is that, you know, that's what you have to do to field teams in privates, you know, all kids on the field all the time. And so I think, you know, that might help their program moving forward. But I also think it's possible some of the kids you mentioned were out at football sort of because it's the thing to do rather than what they want to do.
Yeah.
So especially in that culture. So I think, you know, we'll see how that all plays out.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, there's a lot of dynamics about the Hilton Head Christian move that are yet to be seen. And, you know, one of them is it could be beneficial to Hilton Head Prep. They're the only private school on the island now, you know, for now at least. So, you know, there's that could help them out. And certainly it could benefit Hilton Head Christian as well, because like you said, they can attract people, you know, 30 mile radius from their new campus, get you out, you know, into Pooler and Effingham County and Jasper County and Colleton County. You know, you can get a long ways in 30 minutes from there. So that's going to be interesting to watch that develop for sure. My takeaway, I'm really pleased with the development of high school basketball north of the Broad. You know, there have been years where it was pretty lean up there, and Beaufort was strong this year. Really fun team to watch. Closest that anybody came in the regular season to beating Hilton Head, granted with McCracken injured in the second half, but still they had some serious talent and have a bunch back. Battery Creek, you know, we've kind of forgotten about them because it went south at the end and they missed the playoffs because of the condensed format. But man, they had a great season too. And CJ is doing a great job of turning that program around. The success that you had at BA, Nick, and then Whale Branch, you know, was supposed to be in a rebuilding mode, and they dang near made the playoffs in a condensed format too. So Jim Raymond's doing good things there. They've got more kids coming up through the pipeline. So I'm really excited about basketball north of the Broad up in the Beaufort area, you know, really rising up to match some of the top programs down in the south part of the county. So, you know, the other takeaway is it was really sad to not get to see Ridgeland Hardyville play this year. They've been one of the most consistent programs in the area. You know, they're going to be good every year and compete for state championships pretty regularly. So it was disappointing that those kids didn't get to play this season. Certainly you understand, you know, the decision making to some degree. It was a year where there were no easy or right decisions necessarily. We were all kind of flying blind and trying to get it right. But it was disappointing they didn't get to play. And I look forward to seeing them back on the court next year. They've made a hire at AD, who's also the football coach, who I think is going to be really a good stabilizing force there. And hopefully they're going to, you know, get back on track when they get back on the field next year. But, you know, that's something that I'm excited about, is just seeing other parts of our coverage area. And Colleton County had a rough year this year, but they're going to be better really quickly. They were competitive this year. They just weren't getting wins, went through a ton of tragedy as well. And then Colleton Prep, with all that young talent that came in from Cane Bay, you know, if Coach Mitchell can keep them there, they're going to be really dangerous, really dangerous. You know, I love to see the talent being spread around the area and, you know, the competitiveness. So I thought it was a great season. You know, I enjoyed it, especially in a year when we weren't sure we would even have a season or what it would look like. Had a lot of fun covering high school basketball. So we'll take a quick break to hear from our sponsors, and then we'll come back and hold our Player of the Year draft. If you've heard us draft our Players of the Week all season long, we're going to do it for our Players of the Year right after this break from our sponsors.
Hey, Loco Sports fans. If you've ever found a spider or a palmetto bug in your home, or worse yet, if your wife or kids did, you know it's not a fun time. You don't have to worry about that when you trust Bluffton Pest Management to keep the bugs out. The owner, Keith, has been my go-to bug guy for years, and his expertise and customer service are unmatched. Check him out at BlufftonPest.com and request a free inspection. Go bug free in 2021 and go loco with Bluffton Pest Management. When you need a home inspection, you want someone you can trust, someone who feels like a friend. That's why you need to call on Homegrown Home Inspections for a quality, detailed inspection and the kind of customer service you will only get from a small, locally owned family business. Call 843-949-8802 or visit homegrowninspectionsc.com to book your appointment today. Go Loco! Lowcountry Greenery has been serving Hilton Head for 37 years, offering full-service lawn care, landscaping, hardscaping, irrigation, and lighting, along with the island's number one horticulture plan. Call 843-290-0310 and use code LOCOGREEN to get half off the first 3 months on a weekly lawn care plan or $350 in new plants for your landscape. Go Loco!
All right, thanks again to our sponsors all season long, and especially to you, Rob, and H2 Basketball for making this thing happen and really supporting our high school basketball coverage. Your support really helped us enhance what we do and expand our coverage, and we really appreciate it. So thanks to our sponsors, but let's get to these Players of the Year. Wes, you get the first crack, and I think just about everybody could guess where you're going with number one pick.
You said the key word. The key word was crack. And yes, I will be taking Will McCracken as my boys Player of the Year. And you know, what he did this year for Hilton High was phenomenal. This was a program that had not sniffed any success in the past decade and beyond that. And all he did was carry his squad to a state championship game. I mean, just phenomenal, difference maker in every way out there on the court. He was a leader and coach right along with Shane Brown. You know, not only did he bring this team to the unseen heights with his talents, but he elevated everybody around him to bring his Seahawks squad to that state title game. And just an incredible athlete and really so hard to stop with his drive to the rim. He can nail the three ball, but you know where I think he really shines on defense, making so many important plays, especially in the postseason, forcing some difficult shots and blocking some as well down the stretch in games to clinch the victories. And you know, with those quick hands, boy, was that team dangerous getting out in transition. It all started with the ability of Will McCracken to steal the basketball, get out, and throw down a dunk. And that's where Dunk Island came from this year. And he was the shining star of that Dunk Island squad. And, man, he laid down some monster dunks at home. This was the most fun team I've seen so far covering basketball in the Lowcountry. And I know I'm a homer, but still, this team was amazing in every sense. It all started with Will McCracken. He averaged over 20 points a game, including that school record 43 against Lucy Beckham, which was unreal. He's an incredible scorer, amazing defender, as I said, but he knew when to make the pass to his teammate. He was a team player in every aspect. He wanted to get everybody involved, and especially down the stretch of the postseason, he was making sure that he was getting everybody a chance at scoring the basketball, whether it was Sam Suen, Adam Clark, Alex Smith. It was a full team effort in the playoffs. It never was Will McCracken dominating. That has a lot to do with the defense that you're going against, but it also has to do with the fact that Will McCracken is elevating his entire team and is making his entire team better. So, you know, what a player he's been, one of the best ever on the island. I got to say it right now, probably the best player that's ever come across here at Hilton High School in terms of basketball, the heart and soul of Dunk Island. So congratulations on a year to remember, and best of luck as he makes his way to the next level. And you know what? He can stay a Seahawk. To UNC Wilmington.
Yeah, I can't wait to watch him play in college. There's nothing I love more than turning on the TV and seeing kids from the Loco playing on TV. It's so cool. Whether it's Puna forward with the Seahawks, or, you know, Niles Pinckney at Clemson, or Nick Pringle, you know, getting a few minutes as a freshman at Wofford. I love it. It's the best feeling. So much fun. So obviously he was the player of the year. I don't think there was any question. There were some other great players, but nobody was on his level this season. So now we have the tough work to do, guys. Who's taking the second pick here?
I'll let Rob take it.
Rob, you got pick two, buddy.
I got pick two. Let's see. Oh, man.
Really good players picked at number two.
Like in the draft or locally? Yeah. Or what are we talking about? Okay.
In the draft.
Okay. I think in terms of like, I mean, obviously there's a lot of stuff that I've gone over with regards to prep season, and I think we all have. But I mean, obviously JJ down there sort of changed the landscape for what their year would have looked like most dramatically out of anyone. I'm a firm believer that, you know, after watching them play 5-7 times this year, that without him, you know, they were 16-4, 16-5 going into the postseason. Obviously they didn't schedule in a way that they've got much respect in the postseason. However, 16, you know, over the local flex 2A, they were still sort of the big dog of the most of those schools in and around locally. And that just wouldn't have been the case at all without, you know, JJ Hayes. There's just no way. The kid, you know, he's a physical specimen. I'm not exactly sure, you know, what his ceiling is or where he translates at the next level, although he should play at the next level somewhere. Right. You know, it's that sort of thing. I'm not sure if he's truly a guard or if he's just a, you know, like a, I mean, he is a guard, but he's more of a bully guard, bully ball guard than, you know, than a finesse kid. So I'm not sure how that translates, but what I will say is it translates really well around here against whoever he played almost every night. So that's what it's about. Without him, they what, get 3 wins, maybe 4 wins. They get blitzed they get blitzed by most everyone every night. So, I mean, it is what it is when you're talking about value to your team, when you're talking about a team who still did put up 16 wins. And you know, you are mostly talking about a 2A region. I think you got to go, you know, down to Sea Pines and look at JJ, because like without him, they literally do nothing.
Yeah. He would have been my second pick as well, just because, I mean, he was so versatile. He did so much. He was kind of mini McCracken in a way, you know. I think you're right. He's kind of a tweener at the next level right now. Doesn't probably have the foot speed to be a guard at a high level in college, I don't think.
I don't think he can defend the perimeter as a guard at
a high level. I just don't think he's quite quick enough at that level. But you know, he also might grow 2 or 3 inches in the next year, you know. I mean, you never know.
Then he might
be a monster three, you know, so who knows what happens there, but he's definitely an outstanding player with a great fundamental base and an incredible motor. I mean, nobody plays harder than that kid. So I think he's got a great future as well, wherever he ends up. And, you know, maybe he's a D2 guy or even an NAIA guy.
Well,
where he can really make a difference.
Yeah, let's not talk about they're all not great. Like, that's one of those things you see these kids pass around is, you know, every level is a fantastic level when you're going to college and playing basketball, right?
Absolutely.
So there's no, in my eyes, I mean, yeah, it's great to have a high major, a P5, but, like, it's all for the good. It's all good.
Go to the NAIA or NJCAA tournament and you know, take the names off the jersey and you wouldn't know you weren't watching a mid-major conference tournament. You know, I mean, there's dudes out there everywhere.
No doubt.
Yeah. All right, Nick. Well, you punted on the second pick, so now you got a tough choice at number three. Who you got, buddy? We going BA here?
No, you know, I'd love to. And we obviously had some talent and, you know, played hard and had moments, you know, but, I can't be too biased when it comes to player of the year. I'm gonna steal your pick, Justin. I'm gonna go Mark Knight, who was your preseason player of the year. And I kind of said it all along, and I've had for years, that, you know, he should be playing better than he is. You know, not that he hasn't been playing well, but I was always kind of holding my breath, waiting. And this year Mark was incredible. You know, and a lot of that goes to Mac Tamman over there. He's been touted the the Tony Bennett of the Low Country, right? Like, he's all about culture. He's all about them working hard. He's a good dude. And you know, you kind of see that with his team, and you know, the point guard starts that, and Mark Knight did everything right. Like, he scored, he got steals, he got assists, he rebounded, he defended. You know, and with McCracken off the board, I think clearly it's going to be Mark Knight for me. I mean, he just did a little bit of everything, and kind of the same thing, right? Like, you take McCracken off of Hilton Head, how good are they? You take JJ off of Prep, how good are they? Same thing with Mark Knight, man. You take him off, you know, they still got pieces. They're still going to play hard, but how good are they without Mark Knight? That's something I hope we don't find out for at least another year. You know, Mark was incredible. So he's going to be my player of the year.
Yeah, that's a great pick. I mean, you could have gone any number of directions, but certainly Mark, you know, I mean, gosh, they've been talking about Mark Knight for years over there and how good he was going to be. And we're definitely starting to see it. I mean, he's just an incredible athlete. And again, a kid who plays so hard. I think there's a consistent theme happening here with effort guys. You know, we see a lot of talent, but effort beats talent most of the time, you know? So, gosh, I've got a terribly hard pick here. I'm going to have to go with David Smith at Battery Creek, you know, All-State player.
That's a great pick.
Been off our radar for almost, you know, a month and a half, almost 2 months now, it feels like, because they were shut down for a while, and then they lost a couple, and then they were out of it, you know. So he was kind of off our radar, but the way he started the season was phenomenal. Great guard, plays both ends, plays hard, you know, developing a better shot, but he can get to the rack. So good on defense, and I was really happy for him that he got that opportunity this year at Battery Creek to really step into the spotlight and be a guy. Because, you know, like you talked about a few weeks ago, Nick, he was kind of buried at Buford High. They had an experienced backcourt, and he couldn't really get on the court over there as a junior, but found an opportunity at Battery Creek and took full advantage of it. He was an outstanding player. You know, had them in the top 10 in the state at one point. But they were in a brutal region where they had to face Bishop England and Oceanside Collegiate. And, you know, they got one win in that round robin, but it wasn't enough to get them into the playoffs. So David Smith was outstanding. He'll be my number four pick for the player of the year. But, you know, there are a bunch of guys I considered in there, Ollie Holmes and Daniel Ferris, who was really outstanding. If you want to talk about high energy, high motor guys, he was really good down the stretch for Buford High. And then, you know, JP Peduzzi at Hilton Head Christian had a great year as well. So, you know, there's, and Melvin Teal could have been in the top four easily. You know, I think
Ben Heiss certainly, I mean, he had some incredibly dominant moments throughout the season. I think BA, I think when Ben Van Heiss wasn't on the floor, BA certainly, suffered because, he could do it all.
Yeah, definitely. So, you know, we picked four, but we could have gone a lot deeper, and we will when we pick our all loco team. We'll go a lot deeper than that. Yeah. And we'll have a tough pick to figure out who rounds out the first team and what the second team looks like. And it's going to be a lot of fun to put that together, because we're going to see, you know, on one piece of paper where all the talent is in this area, or how much talent there is. So that's going to be a blast. And it's been fun to do this with you guys, and shine a light and give folks just another outlet to get a little bit more insight and news into high school basketball in the Loco. So fellas, it's been a blast, and I appreciate your dedication to it. Every week it was something to look forward to chat with you guys, and I hope our listeners and readers look forward to it as well.
It's been a lot of fun, man, and you know, if I could take another stab at player of the year, it'd be Justin Jarrett, man. It'd be Loco Sports. Not a lot of areas have this type of coverage, right? Like, it's super fun to be able to look on Twitter and see pictures and videos and scoring updates, and getting, you know, this podcast and all the other stuff that you guys do. Not every area, not every high school team gets the benefit of this. So it's been really cool to be involved with it a little bit on this end this year. But super fun for these kids to be able to, you know, hop on the podcast and listen to them and their teammates be talked about and see their names, you know, on the website, Facebook, and Twitter, and it's just been a lot of fun. I know you guys are expanding over to Walterboro, and hope you guys keep doing that, man, because this is really good stuff.
No two ways, man. This is an absolute asset for the community. I can't imagine going back to the days where I have to look in the back of the new sports section and, you know, get write-ups, and or like the coaches themselves writing write-ups on the way home in a dark bus at midnight so that they can actually get coverage in the paper. Like, Loco Sports is a whole thing. But Justin, you know, is not the MVP. It's Wes. We all know this.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, we all know it. We all
I'm
know
just a coach. I'm just a coach at this point. Wes is the MVP.
It's a team effort. It's a team effort. And I'm really, really proud of what we've been doing this year and honoring and celebrating these fantastic athletes. And it goes back to our mission of celebrating our outstanding student athletes, both on the court, on the field, and then outside of sports, in the classroom, and all the stuff they do to make this an amazing community. So really, really thankful and proud to be able to do this. It's been a fantastic basketball season.
Can we talk about your ever-growing army of interns? That's probably the most impressive thing, right? Like, you guys are getting all sorts of kids over here that are interested in doing what you're doing, and they're getting, you know, experience taking pictures at games and videos and interviews and writing their own stories. So that's also, like, you know, the other aspect of it that we never talk about are all these interns that are getting this great, you know, on the job experience, and then hopefully going to college, getting their degree, and then, you know, making their own Loco Hoops, right? Or their own Loco Sports somewhere else, right?
It's like huge, man. That was my favorite part, by the way. I just jumped Justin, I'm sure, but
no,
that was my favorite part, you know, of this entire concept, Loco Sports, is essentially the front end and the back end, which is developing young, you know, TV, radio, media, journalist level sports talent. And then, you know, giving them all this practical life experience where they have a resume of a high end before they go to college. Then, you know, in some cases, you know, and I know Justin's working on this now, you know, and there's a placement aspect to it too, right? Yeah. So you have the front end kids coming in, but then you have the backside of it, which is, hey, look, WSAV is hiring for this. This kid's been in the low country and getting it done for this period of time. He makes sense for that position. And it's just a wonderful thing from stem to stern. I'm fairly proud to be a part of it in some small way. So, like, yeah, you guys do great work.
Yeah, man. And, you know, I didn't intend to get into all this, but that's always been the vision from the start. I mean, I went to the University of Missouri School of Journalism, and I came out of there by the time I 2 months before I got my degree, I had a job as a sports editor because of the opportunities that I had there to, you know, work with professional editors at a daily newspaper and gain that experience. I'd covered Mizzou men's basketball for a season, football for a season, written a column, designed and laid out pages, copy editor. I'd done everything you could do at a newspaper except be a photographer, which I, of course, taught myself since then. And I came out of there ready to go and get a job. And I always felt like we could replicate that here. And it was just a matter of scaling it. And we got Brooke Simons on board as an intern, and she kind of helped me feel out what that looked like. And then Wes came on board, and I've helped, you know, him grow as a writer and journalist, and giving him more opportunities, and hoping to get him on full payroll at some point soon. You know, just need some more revenue coming in. But and then Carlo, you know, Bracken Lambert and Carlo Peruzza are two more guys that, you know, this process really started when I was at USCB developing student workers, and Bracken was my first one. And now he's the sports information director and assistant baseball coach at Battery Creek. And Carlo was my next one. And, you know, hopefully here in the next few days, he'll be gainfully employed by a network affiliate in Savannah. So, you know, that's always been the goal. And I always knew that there was going to be more work here than I could do alone. And I was going to have to, you know, bring people in, and obviously don't have the financial resources to hire people at this time. So the internship route was, you know, something that I knew I was going to have to explore. And, you know, people have really embraced it. We kind of put it on hold a little bit during COVID. I just didn't feel comfortable soliciting kids and sending them out into the community. But certainly as we go into spring sports, you know, outdoors, I feel a lot more comfortable. And we hope to really ramp that up in the coming years and formalize it a little bit more and get some other people who have experience in the field to help mentor these students and get them on to the next thing. So, you know, hopefully we can continue to build that and expand it, because for me, that's the most energizing part too. You know, I've told a lot of people recently that after 3.5 years of cranking out recap after recap after recap, just to keep this thing going, you know, I kind of hit a wall as far as my brain is just no longer stimulated by low level writing tasks, but it's very stimulated by coaching young writers and editing them and working with them. So that's kind of re-energized me, and Wes was a big part of that. And now, you know, Eric Ellison over at BA is really coming along nicely, and Taylor Michael at JP2. And, you know, we've got a bunch of young folks who want to work in the industry. And it's a really hard industry to crack into if you don't have experience. So we're trying to help them solve that part of it and get them clips and portfolios and reels and all that stuff so that they can go on and do it somewhere bigger and better. And maybe someday they come back and we have the money to hire them. But for now, we're doing what we have to do to give you the best product we can. And a big part of that is, you know, working with young people and helping them develop their talent. So I'm super grateful for you guys' support throughout, you know, from day one. Nick has been on board from day one. When I didn't even know him, he was sending me messages on Facebook about how much he loved what we were doing. So appreciate you guys, love what we're doing, and really excited about the future. All right. Well, guys, that is going to do it for this episode and this season of the Loco Boys Hoops Report. We'll also have a Girls Hoops Report finale coming out. So check out both wherever you get your podcasts. And go ahead and subscribe so that when season two hits, you'll get a notification and you won't miss an episode of the Loco Hoops Report. For Wes Kerr, Rob Benson, and Nick Field, I'm Justin Jarrett. Thanks so much for being a part of this podcast all season long. And until next time, go Loco.